Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. I'm Julie Calamine and my co-host is Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Morning, Julie. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Well, good.
You may have noticed a little snuffly horse sound, or you will soon, but I'm fighting a cold. Soon
stay
to be gone.
Stay way over on that side of the studio.
I'm in the far corner, away from all guests and co-hosts.
Well, first a word of caution to everybody. If you haven't gotten up and looked outside, the roads are slick.
They are.
That combination of wet snow and freezing surfaces is a real hazard. So if you don't have to go out, don't go out. If you do go out, be very cautious.
Give yourself extra time. It's a slow trip across the Long Bridge. Yeah. That's for sure. Well, based on weather and traffic, let's talk a bit about weather as we always do. And today it's snow, and more snow. I think we all figured that part out. Tonight, rain and snow. Highs around low 30s and lows around 30. Wednesday, a chance of snow before 1 p.m., then possibly rain. It's getting a little warmer in the 30s, middle 30s. So the week is looking kind of like that, Phil. Rain and snow and rain and snow.
It feels like the holiday season's finally arriving, and that is the topic for our show today. We've got, once again, the folks from the Lions Club on, who annually put on the Toys for Tots drive, and we're going to talk a little bit about both the Lions Club in general and the Toys for Tots. And welcome to the station, Frank Visger, the current president. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
And Judy Dabrowski, the media past president of the local Lions Club. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning.
How's everybody?
Great.
All right.
Fine.
Yeah. So welcome to the show. You both have been on before, but not all of our listeners listen to every show. So we're going to delve a little bit into the background of the Lions Club for those who are perhaps first-time listeners or might just want the refresher. So give us a thumbnail sketch of the history of the Lions Club.
Well, basically, it's a service organization. It's not really a social organization. Historically, it's been charged with working with the blind or the sight impaired. However, I think the local Lions Clubs will branch out and work whatever community service, to fill a need. Mm-hmm. But we still do work, of course, with the sight and the hearing impaired. And, that's basically, it's not a social club. It's a working club.
Mm-hmm. And that's true internationally. The Lions Club's all over the place. So that's true internationally as well as here locally.
As far as we know.
It is true. The Lions Club International is the largest service organization in the world.
Right. I remember that from years past. So tell us about that. Give us the big picture of the Lions Club internationally.
I think they're represented there's four. I'm going to get the numbers wrong. Oh. There's millions of members worldwide, and the Lions Club in almost every country. So we're organized in that way. Here in the States, we do glasses where we collect used glasses, and those are sent to third world countries. It's an amazing organization, one of service. We serve is our motto, and anybody in the town of Sandpoint or the county would like to join the Lions Club. We would love to have more members to help us with our programs that we do here locally.
So how did the local Lions Club get started?
In about 1953, some of the town merchants and founders, bank presidents and, other police chief and lion and fire people got together and decided that they needed an organization here in town to help with some of the needs. And they got together. So in 1953, they founded, and in 53, they also started some of their major programs, which was to help with the city beach. So the city beach was actually dredged by the Corps of Engineers, so the sand was pulled up by the Corps of Engineers. But it didn't have a lot of infrastructure down there. So in 1953, they started doing fundraising, and the Lions Club helped build a lot of the infrastructure at the city beach, which was one of their driving forces. And then along with that came other programs like Toys for Tots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the city beach doesn't just come out of the sand. There's the grass and the tennis courts, the pavilion, the snack shack, all those things have to be put in.
Right, and a lot of those were paid for by the original Lions Club.
So it sounds like it must be a massive organization. Tell us about the local chapter.
Oh, we're massive. We have about 25 members in the Lions Club, and they are wonderful people who love to give back to the city. They do lots of programs where we raise money from the community, and fortunately this community is awesome and always comes in to help support the projects that the Lions Club does, and we cannot thank the community enough for all of their support.
But the work does come down to a small number of volunteers.
Yeah, we've got probably 20 people that are active, mm-hmm. and they do the majority of the projects.
Yeah. Even in larger organizations, it's probably, the saying goes, it's the same half dozen people, and it may be a dozen or 20, but usually it's not more than 20 in any given organization who are really doing the bulk of the work.
Yeah, we've heard the STP, the same 10 people.
Yeah, same 10 idea. People. Yeah. So how did you both get involved? What drew you into and keeps you a part of the Lion?
Well, basically I got involved. We moved here about 4 years ago and wanted to meet people and not get isolated, sit around the house. So I'd been a Lion before in Wyoming. So mm-hmm. we went down and went to a few meetings and all of a sudden here I am. Judy's got a much longer history than that.
Well, since I was born and raised in Sandpoint, the Lions Club is part of my history. I attended all of the Lions Club beach picnics that they had, that they raised money for the beach projects. So I remember the Lions Club fondly. I was thrown in jail a couple of times when they used to, one of their fundraisers was they had a jail on the corner of Church and Second, and if you didn't behave yourself, they would throw you right in, and somebody had to come down and bail you out, and that was their fundraiser. So I'm sure that other people have other memories of the Lions Club functions in this town because they've been quite active for a long time.
Yeah. But you remember yours from Crime and Punishment.
Oh, yeah. You betcha. Yeah.
And so it's that, I'm not trying to put an exact date on it, but that's been some time. You've been engaged for a while. What keeps you going?
Well, I didn't become an active Lions Club member until my husband retired and we moved here for our permanent home, because I told him once we got married that I was willing to go any place in the world with him for his job. But when we retired, we were returning to home, which has always been Sandpoint for me. Yeah. And so when we got here and we got ourselves, started to get involved in the community, I told him, the one service organization in town that I remember and that I wanted to be a member of was the Lions Club.
It sounds like he followed your advice, both coming here and getting engaged with the Lions.
Yeah, it kind of wasn't an option.
And he's been a good Lion. I see him at the co-op selling raffle tickets for the ATV. He's out and about helping, isn't he?
Oh, he is.
Great helper.
He's very active in the Lions Club, and we're very lucky to have him.
Well, let's launch into a little bit about the Toys for Tots, and we can come back then afterwards and talk more about other Lions Club projects. But I know everybody's interested in the Toys for Tots, and that's, of course, a big part of the holiday season for the Lions and for the community. So why don't we start again with kind of a general overview of what the Toys for Tots program's all about?
Oh, really, the heart of the Toys for Tots, it's providing toys for children, whose parents' income would otherwise not allow them to purchase the toys for the children. Mm-hmm. And that's really the heart of the whole mm-hmm. thing. And that's huge. Mm-hmm. We can do that. We also do provide a food box for the participants that want one, but really the heart of the thing is the toys themselves.
And this is something that plays out in a lot of communities, perhaps a little differently, but this is a program that is recognizable to people even if they've just moved here from places they've come from. But it's different there. So tell us about that.
Okay, Toys for Tots was... The original Toys for Tots was founded by the Marine Corps in 1947. And the Marine Corps program is an absolutely wonderful program. It is nationwide. And the Marines do an absolutely wonderful job providing toys for kids across the nation that don't have access to toys any other way. In Sandpoint, our Marine League has not in the past been large enough to be able to facilitate a Toys for Tots drive in Sandpoint. And so the Lions Club took that job on, and the Marine League has been very, very wonderful to us, and they help us every year, and we love the Marines that come and help us out. And it's a program where we work together. The Sandpoint Lions Club is not part of the Marine League's Toys for Tots program. We're an independent program where everything that's raised stays in our own community. So with the blessing of the Marine League here in town, we are able to function with the Toys for Tots name. Mm-hmm. And so we are, like I said, we're an independent organization, and we try to live up to the Marine Corps' ideals of the kids all getting their toys. And that's one of the, as I see it, the blessings of living in a small town is that we're able to do that.
And Judy, this is a really big Toys for Tots program. I know that other smaller organizations where I came from would do, donate a toy here or there, but this is a pretty big production. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a huge production thanks to the local community. We raise about $50,000 a year. So we're able to provide toys for somewhere, toys and gift certificates, because we do toys for kids up to 13, and then after 13, they get a gift certificate that they can go to any merchant in the Sandpoint area and spend their money and get what they want for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so it's a huge program. We do, like I said, about 900 children a year receive toys or gift certificates. And along with that, we're able to provide a Christmas dinner for almost 1,600 people.
It's really remarkable. You mentioned, all of the resources you get are applied locally, but they also have to all come from our local community.
Oh, this community is wonderful. Mm-hmm. They are. I can never say enough about them. When anybody needs anything, whenever they have a fundraiser, whenever, the programs that are supported at Christmas time alone are huge in this community. So, all I can say is thank you to the community, and we appreciate every dime and every nickel that goes into our coin jars or comes in as donations.
Mm-hmm. And so how long ago was this? It got started in Bonner County a while back. This is not a new phenomenon.
It's not. The Lions Club has been participating in giving children's toys for Christmas since about 1953, when they were organized. The Lions Club members used to refurbish used toys and then hand them out into the community as mm-hmm. their Toys for Tots program. That no longer is what we do. We now do new toys that come in, and people also donate money. And when they donate their money, then we are able to go out into our community. We buy our toys in our community and purchase toys for the Toys for Tots mm-hmm. program. And because we buy in volume, we get discounts from some of the stores here in town. And that's another thing. I thank the merchants very much for mm-hmm. their kind assistance in giving us discounts to purchase these toys.
And so if someone wants to provide support, the dollar donation goes a lot further because you're volume buying than necessarily going out and buying a toy and donating it.
That's true. So there are two ways to give. You can give us money, and we'll spend your money happily buying toys for kids. Or if you would prefer to buy a toy that you think some child would like, we have collection boxes in different merchants in town, and Columbia Bank, the Daily Bee has a collection box. So if you see a box and you would like to buy a toy and drop it in the box, we're thankful to get those too.
Mm-hmm. And Judy, you mentioned for the older kids, they can get a gift certificate and buy their own toy or product. And is that typical, or is that kind of unique to Sandpoint?
That's kind of unique to us. That's not how the National Toys for Tots program works. But we found that because we're so small, we cannot possibly carry things that come in sizes, for mm-hmm. instance, because we can't get something in every size. And so for us, it was in order for the older kids to get what they want, it was just easier. Younger kids are easy to buy toys for, and you know, we can have a wide selection of toys that they can get. But the older kids, it's like, I have nieces and nephews, and it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to get them for Christmas?
It's a nice idea, because as an aunt, I have a similar problem with the teenagers. It's hard to know what to get them, and I just think that was a really creative solution.
Well, especially if they want clothing or something like that, because we don't have the space, you know, to undertake that.
Yeah. Sure.
You do a lot with a small amount of space, and I think it's always really fascinating to hear a little bit about the logistics of it all, how many you serve, and how you go about actually distributing these toys and certificates.
Well, we can buy toys all year, of course, but we generally start most of the toy buys in the fall, and we'll be buying toys right up until early to mid-December. And these are all put away and in the lion's den and in special areas and cataloged, so we don't have, you know, too much of one and not enough of another. And we also then segregate the toys by age group. And so we accumulate all of these and get them ready. And then our distribution, which takes place this year, I believe, on Friday the 21st and Saturday the 22nd, then we have the people come in with a series of Lions Club members and volunteers that act as personal shoppers for them. And they go through the toy room, and it's on a point system, you know, the children you have and so on. And then they can pick out the toys, and then they basically check them out, and can also pick up a food box if they so desire out in the garage. That's all housed out in the garage. And we keep the things that want to stay cold out there, but a few things we can't have freeze, so we keep, you know, we juggle that back and forth depending on the weather. And again, we give all of that out in 2 days. So it's, and we have a lot of volunteers come in. Judy mentioned the Marine Corps League. They're very critical in that, because they help haul. It's a lot of weight to haul around in the snow, and they do all of that, and or participate in it anyway.
And how many folks come through? How many are you serving?
Well, we'll have, if you take, including the families, we're up around, I think 1,400, I think, in that neighborhood.
Well, we generally have about around
1,600, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we generally have around 900 children that we service, and then the families, when you add all the numbers together, somewhere around 1,600 people that get food boxes. One of the things that is a little unique about our program is that the parents or guardians of the kids are able to come in and register. So 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from now through the 17th, so that's not too many days left. We only have a week left for registration. They can come in to the Lion's Den and fill out an application, and it's not hard to do. We don't ask a lot of personal questions. If someone comes in and says they need toys for their children, they're going to get them. That's you know, that's our rule. We don't really go into details of anybody's finances. We don't care. It's the children that we're thinking about. We would love for every child in Bonner County to have a wonderful Christmas. So they may come in, and we're at the Lion's Den from 8 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon on Monday. It'll be this Wednesday, Friday the 14th, and Monday the 17th. We will have the den open, or they can go to the welfare office in Kootenay any day and get the paperwork and sign up. And we would love to have anyone out there who needs toys or you know, a food box for Christmas to please, please come in and sign up, because that's what we're there for. Then on the days that they pick up, the parents actually get to do the shopping for their children, so they get what the children need or want. It's a little more personalized.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Judy, you mentioned that they do need to sign up and register. What if they don't? They really need to do the registration?
They really should come in and register, because that helps us with our numbers. And that's what we're concerned with, is that we are sure that we have enough of everything, that people who come in will get what they need. So it helps us if they come in and register. If somebody absolutely forgot, couldn't get in, or just can't possibly make it in until the 21st and 22nd. If they come by later in the afternoon on we will generally let them register late.
Okay.
So we would prefer that they don't do that, that they get themselves in and get registered. But we're not going to turn somebody away if they show up late.
Sure. And Frank, I will mention this. Judy's just mentioned the dates, but I noticed on Sandpoint Online when I was working on our events calendar that someone's gotten your days onto Sandpoint Online. So that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
They can go there.
Yeah, we're trying to get the word out as much as we can.
Yes.
A lot of new people in the community. We've got flyers out, handbills, and we're trying to be out on all the media and make sure people know about it.
That's the way to go. Yeah. Good.
We are being dragged into this century, whether we want to or not. We now have some younger members that have come in, and they are just dragging us forward. We now are on Facebook.
All right.
We have a website. We're on Sandpoint Online. So, I mean, we're doing good about getting the word out now.
This is where the community is moving to.
Yes, it is.
So much is focused during this time of year, of course, because in July people just aren't thinking about the Toys for Tots and the distribution and the logistics. But also this is the season when you're able to raise the resources necessary. And there's events and things you do. And let's turn for a moment and go through some of those.
Well, we've got two coming up later this week that we wanted to highlight. And the first one will be the spaghetti feed that's put on by the Hoot Owl restaurant. And they do all of that themselves. We basically just show up and eat and collect the funds afterward, which we appreciate very much, and Wendy and her crew.
Now, I could volunteer for that part.
Yeah.
Me too.
It's from 4 to 7 p.m. This Friday, the 14th, the cost is $7 a plate, regardless of your age and so on. And then the other thing, we have another fundraiser on Friday night. That's the A&P Bar is putting on a fundraiser. And again, this was their own idea, and we're going to go ahead and participate. But it will be from 5 to 8 p.m. on Friday, and we would say they're going to auction off a number of items, and I'll be honest with you, we don't know what they all are because it's their show, if you will. But we appreciate, and we will get the funds that will be generated there, and we appreciate that very much also.
So these overlap a little bit, but if someone plans their evening well, they could do the spaghetti feed and then go to the A&P.
That's correct. It's typical holiday season stuff. Yeah. There's not enough time to do everything that you're supposed to do.
True, but what great support, what great community support for the Lions that they would be willing to do that.
Yes, and again, they volunteer that support. We did not solicit it.
Mm-hmm. And you have a raffle going on?
It's the A&P. It's a live auction.
Live auction.
And a silent auction. Yeah. So we have quite a few good auction items that will be there. I said my favorite is a little battery-operated car for one child can ride in it, and it's a kind of an awesome little vehicle. It's got two speeds, forward and back. It's got Bluetooth speakers in it.
Wow.
And it's also got a remote control feature. So if you don't have a kid to ride around in the car, you can just drive the car around your neighborhood.
How big of a kid will fit in that car?
I think Dexter would fit. That's what you're asking.
About maybe four.
That's something an exciting like present. I think that would be a reason to attend in itself.
It is. It's like I said, it's a little blue sports car. It's kind of awesome. I'm just bummed I'm too big to sit in it.
What little kid wouldn't be thrilled with that for a Christmas present?
So I come back to there's an awful lot of activities you've described, from soliciting and raising and collecting money and going to events. And even if the other A&P and the Hoot Owl are organizing it, there's an interface, there's the website, there's Facebook, there's taking registrations, the distribution of the toys. Volunteers, are you looking for volunteers beyond the club members?
We're always looking for volunteers to come in. They're welcome to come in on our food boxing night, which is Wednesday, if I remember right, Thursday.
I think it's Thursday,
Thursday
the 20th.
Yeah. They deliver the food Wednesday. We box it Thursday night at 6 o'clock. They'd be more than willing to come in. And they can take a look at the club and see what we do. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to, you know, a window into the inner workings of the club. Also, on the distribution days, we're always looking for strong backs and sure-footed types to haul the food and the toys out to the cars.
Phil, I think you qualify for that.
I might.
we might be, make a tandem. What are the distribution days again?
Okay, it's Friday the 21st, okay. Friday the 21st and mm-hmm. Saturday the 22nd. Yeah.
And so I assume it'd be helpful to you to have people let you know ahead of time that they're available to volunteer. How should they contact the Lions Club?
Okay, there's a number of ways you can do it. We do have a landline down at the den. It's 208-263-4118. And those that message is checked daily. And also, as Judy said, there's people down there. There'll be people there Wednesday and Friday and the following Monday from 8 to 4, and they will answer the phone. They can also get a hold of us with at sandpointlions@gmail.com if they want to send us an email. So that's probably the best two ways.
Mm-hmm.
It does seem like a great way for a person to be introduced to the Lions Club. If you haven't volunteered there before, it's a way to meet and be introduced to the current Lions for really one of the most exciting events of the year for the club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of we do two events. You know, of course, we do more than two events, but we do two huge events, Toys for Tots being one, and then the 4th of July celebration being the other. But I'd say Toys for Tots is probably a little bit bigger than 4th of July if you want to look at monetarily.
And that's one way of looking at it. But, you know, there's so much community involvement with each of them. And they each have a certain appeal to a broad cross-section of the community. Tell us a memorable moment or two from Toys for Tots from years past.
You're going to put me on the spot and see how good my memory is.
It's what we do, Judy, put you on the spot.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we have a little girl who's has in the past always collected for Toys for Tots, and it's always a wonderful day when she comes in to do her donations. And she has raised as much as $200 at times for us, which is just awesome to see one little girl in a community that has her mind made up that she's going to help somebody at Christmas time, and she does it by raising money. So that's just an awesome thing.
That's really wonderful.
That's pretty neat that a child would be so, well, mature enough to understand that they need to help other kids.
I encourage parents in the community to do that with their children. If they don't want to raise money, they can take their kids shopping to buy a present for another child. And it's just, it instills in the kids the spirit of giving at Christmas time, which is, I think, what Christmas is about.
Yeah, the gift of giving at Christmas is really what the holiday is about.
Well, we've talked a bit about Toys for Tots. It's a great program. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to figure out a way I can help with the Lions this year, but we'll move on to other topics in a moment. Phil, let's take a song break. I hope I don't hear a groan when I play this song, but I think you're all going
holiday
to like
music,
it.
Holiday music, right?
Not quite.
Oh.
So we'll take a short break with Bruce Cockburn with Wondering Where the Lions Are.
Well, Bruce Cockburn.
Wondering Where the Lions Are.
No, we know where they are, at least two of them. They're right here in the studio with us. We have Frank Bisger and Judy Dabrowski from the Sandpoint Lions Club, and welcome back to the second part of the show. We've been talking about Toys for Tots. We're going to shift to some other programs that the Lions Club does. But first, we have a question from a listener who's evidently using this newfangled World Wide Web thing because they're from out of town. They want to know, where can those of us from out of town send a donation to the Lions Club of Sandpoint for Toys for Tots?
Okay, our address is, of course, Sandpoint Lions Club, P.O. Box 414, Sandpoint, Idaho, 838-64.
All right. Well, thank you for the listener question, and thank you, Frank.
And Frank, is that the only way? Does your website have a donate tab or anything like that on it, or is that coming?
I think that's coming.
Okay. We'll look for that.
Old-fashioned checks work just fine.
They sure do.
All right. Well, let's unless there's anything else, and we can have one more reminder at the end about Toys for Tots, let's turn to some of the other activities that the Lion Club participates in year-round. I think it's really fascinating to a lot of people, the connection to the vision programs. And so let's just start there and dig into that a little deeper.
Well, we have what we provide as a club every year, we have a budget for it, is a free eye exam and glasses or whatever they need in the way of eyewear for people in the community that can't afford it themselves. And we also do that for hearing, mainly hearing aids. But we encourage anybody that, you know, especially that needs glasses or an exam, you know, to come forward. And we cover that. As Judy talked, we also collect used eyeglasses, and they're collected. And then I think they're taken to Seattle now, if I remember right, and then distributed overseas, places in Central America, and actually Eastern Europe also, Asia, and so on. And that's a huge program for the Lions Club. And we've talked to some people who have actually been involved in it. And, of course, it allows people to see, to be able to read, and to be able to function. And that's huge.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think we always remember this about the Lions Club. You've been doing it for so long, and it's a great reminder. We think of other charitable causes, but the eyeglasses are really where you started.
Yes. Actually, Helen Keller, back, I believe, in the 1920s, challenged the local Lions Club, I believe, in the Chicago area, to start working with the blind. Mm-hmm. And they did. And then it's, you know, gone on from there.
It's really amazing.
It's a great program.
And I think we tend not to remember it because there is so much attention to the seasonal events, and rightfully so, but then lost in the background are some of these other mainstay activities.
That's right.
How do people get in? I've got a couple pair of eyeglasses sitting in a drawer at home. How do I donate them?
Well, we've got a collection box outside the den that they can put them in. There's also one at Walmart. And I believe, is there anything else, Judy, or those are the two mainly locally?
Those are the two local ones that are mainly used.
And I'm sure if they wanted to call a member, leave a, you know, if they need some more information on that, we can work with them.
And Frank, can you give us the address of the Lion's Den once again?
Yeah, you bet. The street address is 607 South Ella. We're down on the west side of Memorial Park. There's the museum and then the yellow caboose. They're on permanent display, and then the Lion's Den is right next to that.
Very good. So easy to find.
Go to the park, look for the caboose, and reach out and touch the Lion's Den.
Yeah, just to the left.
Yep. So, summer, Sandpoint, July 4th. Wouldn't be July 4th around here without the Lions Club. And it started, of course, with City Beach. We wouldn't have a place to go to on the 4th of July, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah, well, the main thing, the two big things that the Lions do now, of course, is the first is a parade on the 4th of July. We both have a kids parade and a, let's call it an adults parade, I guess. And that's a big event. It takes a lot of permitting now. And did want to mention that that's where Lions International does help us, because they provide services with a large insurance carrier to where we can go online and get insurance certificates, because nobody's going to let you on their parking lot and so on without one. And that really does speed us up. There's more to Lions International than just paying dues to them.
Well, and all those vehicles and animals and kids and funny cars moving around the streets, you need some good insurance.
Yes, and we have to get both a local permit and a state permit, because Fifth Street is Highway 2, and that's State Department of Transportation, so we have to get a permit from them. And we have to have a traffic control, a professional traffic control group, and get a lot of permits to get, and timing is the big deal with that parade. Everything's got to go off, you know, to the minute, and the staging is huge because you're trying to put a lot of people in a pretty small area and trying to semi-organize it.
And last year there were some route changes because of construction and redesign of downtown traffic flow. What's the course look like this year?
Well, that's been my little challenge since I joined.
Or we're not quite sure yet.
Yeah, well, no, the city has worked with us. Yeah. But yeah, we have. It's been a challenge. We've had to reroute the parade this year. I'm told that we're probably not going to have to do that next year, but we'll wait and see what happens, because you've got the vagaries of the weather and so on and so forth. But.
Something to look forward to. And Phil began the after-break conversation talking about City Beach, and many residents know that history, but I'm sure not everyone does. Judy.
Since I'm the old one here, I guess.
The one with longevity.
Right. Well, the Lions Club, when they first formed in 1953, decided as a project that they would take on helping build the infrastructure of City Beach. And so they built the pavilion, and they helped build, I think, the snack shack. They did a bunch of buildings down there. They also helped put in the tennis courts and some of the bathrooms. And so the infrastructure at City Beach was funded, a lot of it, by the Lions Club. So when you're down there and you're enjoying City Beach, remember the Lions Club helped to make it what it is. And then they turned the whole thing over to the city of Sandpoint. So the city of Sandpoint now does all of the stuff at the City Beach is now maintained and everything by the city of Sandpoint, which is, I think, one of our best attractions in the summertime. If we didn't have that free City Beach down there, we wouldn't be nearly as wonderful a town as we are in the summertime. I think that's a great area.
I couldn't agree more. I was just talking with someone who actually lives on the lake in another location, and they still go to City Beach to go swimming because it's like no other beach, isn't it? It's just a fabulous beach.
Well, it's a city, it's a beach to go swimming at. It's a social center in the summertime.
It is.
I mean, you go down there and you see your friends and the kids are all down there having a good time together, and they have playgrounds and they have sand to play in. And it's an awesome asset to the city of Sandpoint.
But the Lions do the fireworks on the 4th of July.
Yes.
And that is paid for by a raffle. And we sell tickets. Generally, we raffle off a four-wheeler or some other kind of recreational equipment. And we sell tickets for pretty much the whole month of June. And we'd certainly appreciate if the community would come by and pick up a ticket or two. And that funds basically the fireworks down at the 4th.
Yes, and I should just say that I see you folks out sitting under your shelter selling raffle tickets, and the ATV is out at various places. It might be at the co-op. I've seen it at Walmart, other places. You'll probably remind me of some. And it's kind of a fun thought that you might win that really exciting ATV and also help with the fireworks fund.
That's what I tell them. If you don't win, you can still go see the fireworks at City
Beach.
That's
right.
Judy, did you have any idea, did the Lions Club have any idea when they were building City Beach that what they were really doing was setting the stage for a fireworks display?
I'm pretty sure not, because they used to set the fireworks off when I was little in Memorial Field.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So it was as kind of a different time and a different venue. I said we used to have our blankets all spread out, and I would have aunts and uncles and cousins, and we would all be mobbed up together watching the fireworks at Memorial Field. We see the same thing happening now at City Beach. It's a huge family affair, and it's so neat to see that tradition carrying on.
And it seems to be a little safer location if I think of Memorial Beach versus the City Beach.
Safer for everybody involved. And the fireworks going off over the water, but a perfect viewing site, too. And what a great asset for the community, for the folks of the community to gather as a social point. But it also brings in a lot of people from out of town who will come from nearby regionally, but come up to Sandpoint City Beach and they stay.
You know, you would be surprised how many people come in, not just from close around. We have lots of people that come down from Canada. We have people that come over from Washington State. We have had some people coming up from Colorado for years to do 4th of July in Sandpoint. So I think that we draw from quite a large area, and people seem to really enjoy the celebration here in Sandpoint, and I think that's great. They love the hometown feel of it, I think. Mm-hmm. We're not big, but we're good.
That's right.
And so I think on the 4th of July, I see way more than 20 people with those bright colored vests patrolling the streets and then doing double duty at the parking lot at City Beach. How do you do that?
Well, we get a few volunteers again on the 4th, but it's basically that same group.
It's a long day for everybody.
And some of their family members. Yeah, it's a long day.
So if someone wants to join the Lions Club and be a part of all of this activity, how do they go about doing that?
They're welcome to contact us at the numbers we gave out here earlier and come down to a meeting. We meet on the second and fourth Mondays of every month at 7 o'clock in the evening. And come on down or get a hold of a member or give us a call and attend a meeting or two. We've usually got some kind of function they can participate in as a volunteer and see what they think about the club. Again, it's not really a social club. It's a working club.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Do you all meet at the Lion's Den then?
Yes.
Nice.
That's what they call our building.
So before we go, we're running a little short on time. Anything you'd like to make sure our listeners know?
Well, I would like the everybody out there to know that whether you want to join the Lions Club or not, if you're interested in seeing what we do, please come down to a meeting. We would love to have you. We welcome visitors. We'll show you the toy room. We'll show you around. We'll talk to you about what we do. And it's not an obligation to join the Lions Club if you show up. But if you're interested, please come down and just visit us.
All right. Well, welcome. Thank you for coming in today. And we'll have you back on before the 4th of July so we can hear about the new parade route, or the one for this year anyway.
Yes, and Lions Club, you're a lot more than just fireworks and toys for tots. It's interesting to hear about it all, but those are two really incredible gifts that you give our community. Thank you.
Thank you for having us on.
Yeah. You bet.
Thanks, Frank.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Judy.
All right. Well, we'll go a little different direction with music and take a song break. We'll be hearing from Dean Martin with the Andersons.